Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Bus Éireann's annual report for 2023 is out this morning, boasting all the 107 million journeys completed, a 20% increase on the previous year, and a successful rollout of electric buses in Athlone. But the company still posted a loss of some €700,000. And questions remain about school transport plans, lack of bus lanes, and whether electric buses have the range for intercity transport. To discuss all of this, I'm joined by the company's CEO, Stephen Kent. Very good morning to you, Stephen. Thanks very much for talking to us.
Good morning, Philip. How are you? Very good.
On the face of it, 20%, one-fifth of an increase in passenger numbers. But do we have to adjust for COVID?
Well, we've come out of 22-23. There was some adjustment for COVID at the moment, but there's a number of other things that have gone into it. At the moment, you can see that there was a huge amount of new services, and Carlow, for example, was a town that had a bus service for the first time. There was a lot of low fares that were in there. There's been investment in fleet. There's been investment in frequency. So there's a lot more things just other than coming out of COVID. And if I compare where we were versus COVID, you know, we were doing about 85 million journeys, and today
in 2019, you mean?
Yeah, in 2019, just pre-COVID. So we've made massive strides even since that. So it's really a compounding of the growth. And it sounds like if I could run more buses to Port and Row, I'd be doing even better again.
I imagine you would. What, to your mind, are the big inhibitors in more people not getting on a Bus Éireann bus?
The inhibitors, well, there's not a lot at the minute. Most of where we're having, when you're managing growth like this at the moment, we're managing a lot of challenges. So there's great things in the background. There's, as you know, the population is growing, and we've heard probably 500,000 people in that 5-year period have come onto the island. And when you have a huge amount of that in economic growth, it does mean that there has been more traffic put out on the road. So our biggest challenge always is making sure that we can manage the service delivery in a reliable and a punctual way. And in reality, we know that there's still a number of people still traveling with the car. It's still the predominant competitor for us as a service. So I think what we've been moving to, though, at the moment in the last couple of years is when you're seeing that level of growth is because people are now more comfortable with the frequency. The service quality is better. I can see the customer satisfaction is about 93%, but not in all areas now. And I have to put our hands up on that. There's places where we do need to improve.
Okay.
And we continue to work on that. But it's all moving.
How much of it is out of your control, though? I mean, how much of an improvement to journey times and to frequency would you be able to make if there were more bus lanes outside of our major urban centres?
To me, it would be the single biggest driver of our improvement. If you take places like Cork for us, Philip, at the minute, you know, 2% of the kilometres we operate on the network down there is in a bus lane. So if it's not, the bus is back in with the cars, and that's a big challenge. I think outside of Dublin is well serviced by bus lanes, but outside of Dublin, I think there's only 30 kilometres at the moment. It's certainly under 50 kilometres of prioritisation for buses around the country. But so we know when we can operate and we can do that and we have prioritisation. It's extremely consistent in terms of what we can deliver in terms of punctuality. And I've seen that in the Waterford network and I've seen it in the Carlow network. So I know what's absolutely achievable, but I also know what's challenging when you don't have it. And you're having to deal with people who are frustrated having to wait a little longer than they have to because the bus is caught in traffic. So these are things that we continue to, it needs dialogue with all the stakeholders, the county councils, the national transporter funding infrastructure changes. But we need a lot of political will and the will of the people coming because nobody wants to be stuck in traffic.
Now, you did the prudent thing this morning of not journeying across the city and coming into studio to join us. But had you would have done so on much, much less congested roads than for the other 8 months of the year when there are tens of thousands of children going to and from school. Can Bus Éireann not do an awful lot more in this area?
Well, I'm pleased to say, look, we have 3,000 people, great people in the business, and then we've a huge contingent of contractors in the bus operating market that are also assisting us deliver the school's business. And I think that's what you're inferring. And I'm delighted, you know, we've Minister of Transport and the Government Initiative that wants to, you know, continue increasing the number of school journeys taken by bus or through the school transfer scheme. They want to increase it by 100,000 by 2030. But that will require some phasing, and the whole industry, when you're trying to move off where we were, which is 162,000 kids that were delivering to school every day in 2023. And that's up from 112,000 only a number of years ago. So it's very significant. So I welcome it wholeheartedly, but it will require phasing, and it requires resource, more drivers, more vehicles, and all of that is we're kind of geeing up the whole industry to continue to invest and to be ready. So we can do more.
I understand
and
that
we will do more.
I understand that a shortage of drivers is one of the major inhibiting factors there.
Yeah.
Why have you limited the age of drivers to 70? Because it really does seem like a kind of a ridiculous situation that a private provider can bring kids to and from a school match or a school trip at the age of 71 or 72 years of age, but the same driver isn't allowed to drive the kids to and from school.
It's a very fair question. And look, what we're trying to manage on the scheme, we're a state company and we hold ourselves to the highest of standards we can on safety. And that's really, it's a judgment call based on where we are and looking at on the data that we have available. So our scheme at the moment, it's not a small number of trips. We're operating, you know, you can see there 9,700 routes on the school transfer scheme. So it's enormous and it's complex and it involves about over 7,500 vehicles. And we're carrying children. And we're trying to be safe and make sure that we do all the things right. So when we're doing it, you know, you could ask and say, yes, I'm going to talk about drivers in a second, but this isn't the panacea to solving drivers.
No, and I would imagine there is no one single silver bullet. But, you know, let's be realistic about this. If the loss adjusters in insurance companies who work to some very, very sophisticated maths have decided that it is safe for a 72 or a 73-year-old to be driving school kids, why can't Bus Éireann come to the same decision?
Well, we're only being guided among what research we've read, and we can see that a very small number of our own drivers tend to work beyond 70. So we have a lot of the data that's informed it. But what we've tried to do in the moment, because this has been crystallizing over the last number of months, we have referred it to the Road Safety Authority and working through to see if they can inform the position as well, to see if we're, I mean, we all only want to make the safe call. It's not about taking a position against one person or not, but a lot of the data we've read would suggest that there's more risk when we continue to age. And if you're moving, what age do you move it to? There's a number of things. And don't forget, Philip, some of the instances we have is we're not just dealing with taxis that we deploy for the school transfer scheme or minibuses. In some instances here, these are double-deck coaches. They could have upwards of 75 plus children on them. So we're just trying to make exactly the right safe call. So we've referred it as well to the RSA to see whether there's any new information that would make us change our position.
The electric bus fleet has been rolled out in Athlone. I'm wondering, what have you learned from that before you extend it to Cork and Limerick?
Well, a huge amount in terms of the range. I mean, if you take it from a company transformation point of view, you had 100 years of the internal combustion engine. Then you had lots of mechanics built up around the business. We have about 500 that work in our garages. So we had to train people, understand the difference between moving from mechanical engines into high voltage systems. So we had to do that. Then we had to learn about the collaborations that need to happen in terms of planning to get these into places. So in Athlone required the building of a substation. It required collaboration with all the
an electricity substation as opposed to a bus substation.
Exactly, yeah. An electricity substation. And then we needed to deploy the range. And of course, everybody would be conscious that there are range issues. You need to understand those in relation to electric vehicles about how they perform in cold weather and warm weather.
Well there were complaints, weren't there?
Gone into informing that.
There were complaints, weren't there, about passengers being cold in cold weather because bus drivers were too afraid to turn the heating up for fear it would deplete the battery.
Yeah, there was back in early January, there was a couple of queries, there was a couple of curtailments, and we've learned from that. So this is around how to understand, you know, what is the maximum range. We're much clearer on that. So we have remote access to a lot of these vehicles. We see the state of charge of the vehicles. So we know how to deploy them. So all of that is, that's all part of the learning that you have. And we've used that to roll it into Limerick now. And as I said, we'll be coming to Galway, Cork and Sligo through next year and into 26. They're the next immediate evolutions of where we'll be doing on the city services.
So what is the timeline on that, though? I mean, but when will we see the first buses on the road, the EV buses on the road in Limerick?
They're already, Philip, so they're already rolling. They started out in April and they're down there, and we spent a lot of time building that. That's the first phase of them. There'll be another bunch of them. In Cork, we're working at the moment on the electrification of the depot, and that's probably going to take another 9 to 10 months in terms of getting that ready. Then we've capacity. So you'd be looking at Cork probably rolling in 26. As we go through in 25, and that would be the plan to continue moving that, because we need all the cities moving at the right time. And also we know the customers love it. It's quieter, it's cleaner in terms of, as a customer experience when they go out there. And of course, we know that it's great for climate action and for the environment.
And what are you going to do about your intercity services on which routes I assume electric vehicles aren't much use?
That's a big question, and we're working with the manufacturers on that, because you're right, on the intercity, there are coach services as opposed to buses that work on the city services. And there isn't yet an EV solution in relation to those types of vehicles. The manufacturers will get there. And so in the short term, what we've had to do, because we're still conscious of the climate action and trying to address the emissions, is we've obviously moved everything into biofuel last year. But now we're also trialing hydrogenated vegetable oil. And we're trying that on 4 vehicles even just at the moment. We're trying to get the learnings for that, because ultimately, you know, we are bound by the technology and we'll move with the technology. But we have to make sure that we continue to use alternative fuels also.
Anybody who has been on a Bus Éireann bus would be conscious of the fact that you are a very ethnically diverse employer. How many different countries do drivers come from?
Actually, last year we moved from 45 up to 51. 51 nationalities represent our workforce, so I'm very proud of that. And
have there
we
been
embrace
problems?
That as best we can.
Have there been antisocial behaviour problems in relation to that, or are your employees by and large unaffected?
The whole of Ireland has some social dynamic. We have been lucky on the services in the locations where we operate, where we haven't had as significant an impact maybe as some others have. So I'm happy to say that isn't there. The people are working in local communities. As I said, we've nearly 3,000. We've grown from about 2,500 employees to 3,000. And everything we're doing is not just on the ethnic background, but also trying to bring more women into the business. So last year, we had, 15% of the new recruits that came into the business, and we hired 500 people last year. 15% came in were women, and we need more women in this industry to continue to enhance the diversity, and we'll continue to foster everything that we know about diversity in all its forms, whether it's ethnic backgrounds or gender. Okay. So that we're very proud of that, because they're the communities we represent.
Stephen Kent, CEO of Bus Éireann, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. Coming up, government approves minimum sentencing recommendations for judges, but what, if any, difference will it actually make?
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.